We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and I want to begin by asking you a question. What makes you love someone? Seems like a philosophical question, right? What makes you really like someone? I'll tell you a few stories. There are a few answers to this, and they're not mutually exclusive, they're complementary. The Rambam, in discussing friendship, discusses the different types of friendship. There's the friendship that's mutually beneficial, and then there's the friendship where you just click. And that could keep things running in a friendship for a certain amount of time, but within marriage, it works a little differently. One of the most misunderstood concepts is love. People think it's like an illness. You get the disease, right? You caught the flu, so he's lovesick, and then they fall into love, and they fall out of love, and then how could I stay married to her? I don't love her. But the first generation that has the gall to say such a thing. Someone called me up this month and said so-and-so is getting divorced because he no longer loves his wife. They're married a total of 3 years. They have a child who's 2 years old. So I said, tell him to stop looking at pornography and to start focusing on loving her for who she is, and tell him not to get divorced. He can't do that. He has a two-year-old kid, with all due respect to him. People very often develop fantasies of what they'd like out of marriage. If you really want to, you want to know what it means to love someone, so fake it. Act it. Do it. And I want to explain it a little bit further. This is a concept we'll develop from many different angles. But let's work with the definition. There's a girl I know who is a very active, fun girl. And once her parents had a guest over, and the guest sat down for the Shabbos meal. And during the meal, he spoke to all the kids. And when he spoke to this girl, every time she said something, he'd tell her parents, "Wow, she's brilliant. How does she know so much?" And of course, that man, the girl smiles, and she's very happy. And the next time he asks a question on the Parsha, she's first to give him the answer. And, you know, it's cyclical. And by the end of the meal, he tells the parents, "Wow, this isn't just a good school. This is a phenomenal girl. How does she know so much? How do you do this? Fine. Wow." He leaves the meal. And what does the girl say? We'll call the guy Jack, okay? So when he leaves the Shabbos table and he goes home, so the girl tells her parents, "I really like that Jack. When's he coming for Shabbos again?" And I heard this little girl for years talk about that man Jack. Years. I remember the story from over a decade ago. Over a decade has passed and the girl is still talking about Jack. She's gone from being 6, 7, 9, whatever she was then, to 16, 17, 19. She's already married. And I've still heard her talking about that man Jack. And it blows me away every time I hear her talking about Jack. I was there. I know why she likes Jack. What was Jack? Nothing. She knows nothing about him. All she knows about him is that when she'd say something, he got all excited. One Shabbos meal, and she loves Jack. She's still talking about him. But we're all that way. There was an ad in a newspaper where someone wrote the following ad. I'm looking for a partner. I know how to love. I'm a little bit on the lazy side. I like spending the day on the couch in the sun. But when you come home, I'll greet you with a lot of warmth, a lot of love. I'll smile at you. I'll get very excited that you came home. I'll spend all my free time with you. The first thing I want to do when you come home is sit on your lap and just be close to you and cuddle with you." And there were over 30,000 responses. What the guy forgot to write was that he was advertising a dog. 30,000 responses. I lie lazily in the sun. person says, I don't do much, but I'll give you warmth, I'll give you love, because at the end of the day, what do we really love? One of the factors of what we really love is when we feel that the other side loves us. Oh, what Larry said before is true. Love grows as we invest in the other party. But love is also a product of feeling loved. So now, let's take a scenario. I'm sitting with a couple, and they're both looking the other way. Neither one's looking at the other one. And the wife says, he's a brute. And we won't say what he says. And she says, of course I can't live with him. He hasn't turned to me and apologized. He hasn't come and said, you guys are laughing? This isn't a joke. If it were a joke, it would be funny. This is life. He has to come and say, I did this wrong, and I apologize. I was wrong. And he's not doing that. How can I make up with him? And he's like muttering under his breath, and she's the princess of purity. A lot of marriage can be boiled down to three-year-old behavior. But you'd be surprised how quickly in such a relationship you could end up in three-year-old behavior. I say that a lot of the fights can boil down to, yes, you did, no, I didn't. Yes, you did, no, you didn't. You know, it goes back and forth, and you look at it and you say, guys, how old are you? Where is it really coming from? Well, if I love because I feel like I am loved, so then I'm waiting for her to make me feel loved, and then I'll love her. But you know what? She's sitting on the other side of the fence saying the same thing. If you'd only shine to me, I'd reflect you. And each side has a long list of things that they could say, you know what I did for you? Yeah, okay. If that's the approach, then we never get anywhere. Marriage is people say it's a give and take relationship. I say marriage is a give and give relationship. You give, and then you give some more. And when you're done with that, you give again. And if you're focused on the giving, so, like Larry said, out of giving, you create connection. And also, you're starting the cycle. You can't stand there. You know, there's the saying in Talmud that honor comes to those who run away from it. So a guy comes to the rabbi and says, you know, I've been running away from honor and it hasn't been coming. So the rabbi says, yeah, because you're running away, but you're looking over your shoulder to see if it's coming after you. That's not how it's going to work. Maimonides describes the relationship between a servant and the master. So Maimonides says the servant has to treat the master like a master. And the master has to give the servant the dignity and treat him like a brother. So how does that relationship work? You know, the servant's going to be doing the work and saying, you should be treating me like a brother. And the master's going to wag his finger and say, but you should be treating me like a master. No, that relationship only works if each side is focused on their end of giving, not on their end of taking. And the same is true within the marriage. If I'm focused on what I should be getting, so then I'm not getting enough. If I'm focused on how much I could give, so then you could give and give and give. So that's always the question, who starts? And the answer is you. And you'll say, but I started yesterday. And I'll say, right, so what? Yeah.
How do you know what it is that you're supposed to give? Like, what is your role of giving? How do you become aware of it?
So that's part of what we're discussing here. I'll give you simple examples. There are many examples that are very obvious. You finish a meal, who's going to wash the dishes? Who's going to take out the garbage? Who's going to do the shopping, the cooking, the cleaning? There are many acts, and it's not only about the acts. It's also about what you say and how you do it. And a lot of it is personal. There are many, 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 many ways to show love. It's a little hard to pin it down to one thing. The one which is most important that men find the hardest is speech. Meaning, women feel loved through speech much more than anything else. Men feel it through intimacy. There's an aspect of intimacy that also expresses it to a woman. But speech plays a huge role, probably more so than intimacy for a woman, and men are very bad at it. It's like, what do you want? Let's be short and to the point, I'll tell you whatever you want. What do you want? I'm being very straight with you.
Well,
I love you. Good night.
When it comes to speech, does the woman still prefer, you know, speech to be the best or the most potent way of the expression of love, even if what you're saying sounds cheesy or corny or anything?
So we're still going to have many classes on speech. It's multifaceted. Person has to find many ways to express that he loves and adores and cherishes his partner. Person has to find many ways to show appreciation, commiseration. And a person also has to have simple speech about nothing, because women need that.
Wait, so, but is it permissible to say the same thing more than once, or do you have to be original all the time?
I think that's part of what you'll discover within your own relationship. But don't forego originality.
I'm not saying forego originality, but if one time something comes, you're inspired to say something very nice because you really feel like saying something very nice at the time, and it makes the wife very, very happy, and are you allowed to say the same thing again, even if you're not? You don't feel like saying the same nice thing. It's not coming from the same place, but you know that you want to make your wife happy, and saying such makes her happy.
So that's we'll discuss that. Let's leave some stuff for the later classes.
Okay.
No, because if I say it in 1 second, I won't express it well. That has to be explained on what happens when your wife asks you, "Who do you love more, me or your mother?" And then you're going to start thinking in male terminology. Well, love for a mother is very different than love for a wife. And then you'll give me a whole speech. No, the answer is I love you more, period. Come on. There's nothing. Okay, so then you'll say, but wait a second. Right now that's not exactly what I'm thinking. And I'll say, when your five-year-old comes and shows you their scribbling and asks you, "Is this nice, Dad?" You'll be able to say, "Yeah, wow, I see the sun over here in this circle that you drew, and I see the spaghetti over here, right? Come show me, explain to me the beautiful drawing you drew," and you're going to be able to show a lot of warmth and excitement over something that's really, they're scribbling. You have no problem with it. You could do the same thing. It's not only a question of truth. But that's what I said. It's a topic in and of itself, which we need to discuss. In summation, who starts? You start. If I were teaching girls, I'd tell them they start. Everyone has to take the responsibility to be the one who starts this cycle of positive without expecting the return. It's
like
a give. Right? I don't care. So what? So you're always starting. So you're the one that's making this marriage work. Fine. So when you come to Shamayim after 120 years, you're going to say, "I have the credit of making the marriage work." And suddenly they'll open this door and they'll show you 50 million times that you were an absolute brute, but your wife made the marriage work, but you didn't even know it happened. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm saying, let's assume you're always the one that does it. Right? It takes one to tango. No, it's frustrating if your expectation is she should. No, you should. You make it work. I say it takes one to make a marriage, it takes two to destroy a marriage. So you'll be the one. So in Shamayim, they'll know you made the marriage work, and that's fine. So you could take that credit. Yeah, you did it for yourself, you did it for your kids. At the end of the day, you're the one that benefits the most when it works. So it's not that, I'm the loser. I took out the garbage yesterday, she should take out the garbage today. No, so I'm always the one that takes out the garbage. I did the dishes last Shabbos, she should do the dishes this Shabbos. No, so I always do the dishes. And if you try to work on a system of what's fair, then the marriage won't work. If you try to work on a system of where can I find another opportunity to give, then the marriage can work. It's one of the components of the formula. So again, because one of the things that makes us love is the feeling that we are loved, so this cycle, well, we have to start the cycle. Give that feeling. How do you give that feeling? So that we're still going to discuss. There are many, many ways. Starting with touch. You have to touch your spouse. So we're modest. We don't do it outside, but inside the house. I tell Chatanim, if you're sitting for supper next to your wife and you're in the permitted time of the month and you're not holding your aunt, you're a criminal. What's wrong with you? You could be at the same time that you're sitting at the table, you could be showing your affection and you're not. Why not? So people think touch is only for the bedroom. No. God gave us the capacity to show warmth, to show our feelings, and touch is a part of it. So we do it in a modest way. We don't do it in front of other people. But it has to be there. And you'll say, well, after what she did to me, I don't feel like touching her. So, who asked you? What does that have to do with anything? Showing love is not, I'm not waiting to feel, oh, I'm excited, I love the other party. I will start the cycle of love by being the one to show warmth and show it again and show it again. And eventually, we'll get the ball rolling. And that's how marriage works.